It was a great time of worship. I just loved it. I had tears coming down my face, which for me is like a thermometer. If I've got tears coming down my face, I know God's doing something. I had this phrase that I kind of want to preach into, and the phrase is, repeatedly in my life, I've felt like, and I've said this to myself, nothing's happened, or nothing's happening. God, please do something, nothing's happening. And so I want to kind of bring that at the beginning, because Jesus says, thank you, Father, you always hear me. We have a Father who always hears us. We don't need to beg and beg because he always hears us. Actually, he's a Father who anticipates our every need, knows our every need. So we have a remarkable Father, but there are some elementary teachings in the Bible that help us get started in this whole journey of knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want to pick up on a verse that I love, and it says in Hebrews 6 verse 2, this is elementary teaching, this is the ABCs of your Christian life. And the writer of the Hebrews says this, I don't want you to be unaware of instruction about baptisms and the laying on of hands. And that's meant to be elementary teaching. Now, if you think, what are the baptisms, plural, that he's talking about? All the Gospels talk about John will baptize, or he says, John the Baptist says, I baptize with water, but he, the one coming after me, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Two different baptisms, one with water, one with the Holy Spirit. So I think these two baptisms are talking about water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. Now, first thing you need to think is Jesus is our great model of everything. Did Jesus have the Holy Spirit all his life, or just when the dove came down? All his life. He was born of the Spirit. His mother was Mary, but the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus. So he was born of the Spirit. When you're born of the Spirit, or born again, you have the Holy Spirit. But Jesus lived 30 years, worked as a carpenter, and later, at 30, had this experience where the Father spoke from heaven, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and down came the Spirit in the form of a dove, and came and landed on Jesus, and remained on Jesus. He was baptized in the Spirit. The Father sent the Spirit onto the Son. So we don't believe in Father, Son, and Holy Bible, but we often as Christians, if you have my church background, we emphasize the Bible much more than the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I didn't even really ask God ever for the Holy Spirit for my first 8 years as a Christian, because I thought all I needed was my Bible, my love letter from God, which is awesome, but you need a relationship. The Bible is meant to point us to our relationship with our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I definitely had the Spirit when I was born again, but I wasn't longing for more. I thought I had everything I needed. I thought God was lucky to have me. Honestly, I was that arrogant. I thought that way as a young 21-year-old. And then I went through heartache and went through a divorce, actually. The girl who took me to church and helped me become a Christian goes off with another guy, and I'm devastated. And something in me said, is this it? There's got to be more. And thankfully, God brought into my life a wonderful, godly, charismatic Christian called Paul Dodge. I'm still in touch with him through Facebook and thanked him for his influence in my life. And you see, the church I was in, we thought we had the best theology. Which actually, for every Christian group, is probably true of one small part of the Bible. Not the whole Bible. We all know in part. None of us have everything right. If Paul knows in part, we know less. Not this Paul. The Apostle Paul. This lovely, he was an older, charismatic leader. And he was trying to encourage me, there is more. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I've got the Holy Spirit. Back off. And really, I was just unreceptive, unteachable, because I thought, I've got Reformed theology and you're Arminian. And that was my thinking. That doesn't matter what that means. But it was just pure pride on my part. I wasn't teachable. And he was just lovely, this fatherly man. And he invited me to breakfast. He took me, he had early morning prayer meetings. So our church didn't pray early in the morning. So I thought, well, I'll go along. 5 a.m. in Florida. But it didn't seem early because it was always light. But it would have seemed early now. I wouldn't be getting up at 5 now. But I'd go along, then we'd have breakfast together. And he always had a stack of cards, and they were prayer requests from people in the congregation. And so I would join, and he'd divide out. If 4 people came to the 5 o'clock prayer meeting, he'd break the stack into 4. So you're praying through a stack of prayer requests. And I get to this prayer request, and it says, pray for Graham Webb to get baptized in the Spirit. I thought, you cheeky so-and-so. I didn't ask for that. He put that in there. And I'm praying for myself to get baptized in the Spirit, which I don't even believe in. So, but he was so lovely, so fatherly, so kind, so encouraging. You can win people just by being kind. Don't think you have to be harsh to help people. Be kinder. Be more kind. Be even more kind. Somehow that brings us to repentance, the Bible says. So, anyway, Paul Dodge just loved me. He lent me this. I said, oh, tongues isn't for today. And he said, no, it is. Read this book. I've got this book for you. And it was called They Speak in Other Tongues, which was lots of stories about people getting the gift of tongues and speaking with other languages. And I just enjoyed reading the book. And it softened me a little bit. And then our church moved. We were renting a building. And we moved from Melbourne, Florida to Palm Bay, Florida. And I kind of lost touch with Paul Dodge, this lovely man. But just before I lost touch with him, he was talking about, you know, Jesus heals today. And I kept getting cold sores. And he said, do you want me to pray for those? It doesn't matter. They're not that big a deal. But I'd get them and they'd stay for about 2 weeks. Because the way I would play tennis, I would bite my lip when I served. And I always got a cold sore there. So I'd go like that. And I just kept repeatedly. And then they'd last for 2 months. So it's a little bit uncomfortable. And anyway, he says, let me pray for you. It can't hurt. So he prays for me. We moved from Melbourne Beach to Palm Bay, and I don't see him again for a year. And then when I see him a year later, he says, how have those cold sores been? And I'd forgotten all about it. What do you think had happened? I hadn't had one. I hadn't had one for a whole year, and I always got about one every 2 months. So it was like, oh, maybe there is more. So because of Paul Dodge's loving fatherly ways with me, I started asking God, please help me. And then in Florida, they, for Easter, they do an Easter sunrise service on the beach, which is quite nice. On the East Coast, sun comes up, and they do baptisms. And so I went down to these baptisms on the beach, which lots of churches all joined in. And there was a charismatic church. Some of my friends were there, but I wasn't a charismatic. But I said to them, please will you pray for me to receive the Spirit. But I don't want any of my Presbyterians to see me getting prayed for by you. So please could we? And they go, it's okay, we've got a minibus. Like an RV. So we go into the RV, they're laying hands on me. And I would say, nothing happened in my mind. They've laid hands on me, they've prayed for the Spirit, they've been praying in tongues over me. And I just had that phrase, nothing happened. And maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But here's the problem. There is something in me that says nothing happens when I pray. Nothing happens when I come to the Father. And that's because I've got a wrong view of the Father. He always hears my prayers, needs, sees what I need. He loves me. He's for me. So I got prayed for. Nothing happened is my thinking. That's not helpful thinking for you as a Christian, to think nothing happens when I pray. Because if you think nothing happens when you pray, what do you do? Do you pray more or do you pray less? You stop praying. Nothing happens, or there's no point. God always, thank you, Father, you always hear my prayers. I love that phrase by Jesus. It's true for us. Our Father always hears our prayers. Always. And he actually knows exactly the best way to get us through. We don't always like the way he does it, but he knows best. So he always hears our prayers. And my ex-wife had petitioned for divorce. The divorce went through. A sheriff comes and gives you the divorce papers in America. Are you Mr. Webb? Yes. You've been served. That's more of a backhand, really. That's a serve. I didn't say that to him. He wouldn't have laughed, and nor would you. Anyway, you've been served, and so I go back. We'd sent from Philadelphia all our boxes of possessions to my mum and dad's house in England, in Horsham, Sussex. So all our stuff was there, and now our marriage was splitting up, and it looked like we weren't going back to England as missionaries to my country. And so my elders in my Presbyterian church said, have a break, go, have a bit of a holiday, go back, see your family, divide up your possessions, send them back to your ex-wife, the things that the divorce separation agreement has. So I come back to England and just keep procrastinating. I don't want to divide these things. I don't want to look at these. I don't care about these possessions. I cared about my marriage, and it had broken to pieces. I was so depressed, so down, so lacking in enthusiasm for God, and also thinking, can God ever use me? I've just finished my master's in theology, and now I've gone through a divorce. So I go back to England, and thankfully I meet up with some New Frontiers Christians in Horsham, and they lay hands on me. I go to their Bible Week, called Downs Bible Week in 1988. They lay hands on me, and again that phrase comes, nothing happened, nothing happened. You see, I don't know if you've seen the verse in John 20, where Jesus says to his disciples, he's risen from the dead, he says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. And I read that and I think, nothing happened. Because of my mentality about how God is with me. Did anything happen? Jesus says, I will leave you. but I will send you another comforter. I believe he was doing something to say, you'll remember this in a few days' time. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. They wait in Jerusalem, and then a rushing wind comes. I'm sure when the rushing wind comes and they're speaking in other languages, they're thinking, that's what he meant when he said, receive the Spirit. He's blowing from heaven and sending his Spirit on his church. Something happened. It was a prophetic picture of what was about to happen. So God's doing something, and my mentality is just wrong when I think nothing happened. Because God is always at work. One of our songs is, he never stops working. How can nothing happen if God never stops working? It's just a lie from hell, from the devil. It's got to be a lie when I say to myself, nothing happened. But all through the summer that I came back in 88, I get different New Frontiers. Everyone, please pray for me. I want the Spirit. I want this thing they've all got. And nothing happened. And they kept laying hands on me. They kept saying, receive the Spirit. I had some Christians, not New Frontiers ones, but they would say, you've got to believe you've already got it. Keep telling yourself, thank God you've already got it. And I'd start getting a little bit bipolar. Have I got it? Haven't I got it? And I think that what our Father wants is for us just to say, Father, you always hear me. I know you've got this. I trust you. I long for more of you. I long for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do things your way. But laying on of hands starts, I believe, with laying on of hands to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And I'll just show you a few verses. Jesus says to his disciples, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It didn't look like he laid hands on them, but from heaven Jesus is sending his Spirit. But then the kind of norm becomes laying hands on them. So a whole load of people get saved in Jerusalem, and they start, because of persecution, going to other parts around Israel and then beyond Israel. And in Acts chapter 8 it says this, that Philip the evangelist went to Samaria, and people were getting saved, people were getting healed, people were having demons cast out of them, and there was great joy in that city. But none of the people who'd become Christians, followers of Jesus, had been baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Spirit. So Peter and John hear about it. They go from Jerusalem, and when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. That means baptized in water into the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Then we hear about this character, Saul of Tarsus, in Acts chapter 9. And you wouldn't think anyone would lay hands on Saul of Tarsus, because he was persecuting the church. But he has a Damascus Road experience. He's blind. He goes into the city of Damascus. And while he's waiting there, God speaks to a prophet called Ananias and says, go and pray for Saul of Tarsus. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I've heard about Saul of Tarsus. I'm not going anywhere. No, trust me, Ananias. He's one of my disciples now. So Ananias goes to find Saul of Tarsus in Damascus. And it says, placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again. He'd been blinded by the light that he saw. And so that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was a Spirit-filled Christian from this point on. I believe he was born again 3 days earlier when he got knocked to the ground on the road to Damascus. And everything changed. So, God says, baptisms and the laying on of hands. It's an elementary teaching for us to lay hands on people. I don't believe laying hands on people is only for receiving the Holy Spirit. If I pray for someone who's sick, I nearly always say, is it alright if I put my hand on your shoulder? If I want to prophesy on someone, I nearly always do the same thing. Or can I just put my hand on your head? I believe impartation comes as you lay hands on people. But it starts with this thing about baptism in the Spirit with the laying on of hands. So after Paul, or Saul as he's called here, Saul is his Hebrew name, Paul is his Greek name, Paulos is his Greek name. Both mean little. So I don't believe he got a new name. I think he just used different languages and was intelligent enough to talk to Greek people with his Greek name and to Hebrew people with his Hebrew name, which I'm sure some of you multilingual people can do too. You use your name slightly differently. But Paul, on his evangelistic church planting journey, he always wants to see that people come to Jesus, get baptized into Jesus, get filled with the Spirit, become saved and added to a local church. And he finds this group, when he's going to start a church in Ephesus, he finds these 12 men who are disciples of John the Baptist. And he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. John the Baptist told people to believe in the one coming after him, Paul says. That is, believe in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So that means water baptism. They've realized John was preparing us for Jesus. We need to be Jesus' disciples. So they say, baptize us. So Paul baptizes them. This is all part of the normal Christian birth. Repent, believe, be baptized in water. But then look what happens. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Hey, wow! Laying on of hands. So, rather than thinking nothing happened, I want you to think, Father, you always hear me. Whatever you're praying about. I prayed, nothing happened. You prayed. You don't know that nothing's happened. And God moves heaven and earth sometimes just to help his children. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So do ask for more of the Spirit. Do ask for the Spirit today. If they actually, I've never spoken in tongues. I've never seen anyone healed. But also ask for anything in the name of Jesus. But please, if you're thinking nothing happens, bring it to God and say, God, I'm so sorry. That's just not Bible thinking. When I ask you to do something, I can trust you that you will look after me. So, having said nothing happened, and been prayed for by all these different people in the summer of 1988, I go back for one more year to Palm Bay, Florida. And no one else lays hands on me. I've had about 10 different men lay hands on me. Nothing happened. But I ring my ex-wife up and say, look, all the stuff's coming. All the cargo's coming from Heathrow Airport and will arrive on such a day. And while I'm talking, this phrase comes into my mind, ask her if she's married. And I'm thinking, well, no, we've only just got divorced. We chat away, how are things? You know, ask her if she's married. And I kind of reject it again. So we're chatting away, ask her if she's married. Are you married? Yeah, I got married yesterday. I believe that was a word of knowledge. Nothing happened. Really? Suddenly, I'm on the telephone and this repeated thought comes that actually it was absolutely correct. She was married. And as she said, yeah, I got married yesterday, a heaviness fell off me. That depression kind of lifted off me in almost in one go. So I thought nothing happened. Then I was praying in my room back in Palm Bay, Florida. And I'm just praying through 1 Corinthians 12. And asking God for each line. Give me the gift of tongues. Give me interpretation. Give me... And then I got a syllable came to my mind. This is all months after different people have laid hands on me. Nothing happened. Really? So I'm praying Rosh. I'm praying a bit more in English. Rosh Hashanu. And then I thought, oh, I meant to speak it out. I got this syllable or this phrase in my mind. Rosh Hashanu. And then tongues just poured out of me. Does the devil then back up when you've got the gift of tongues? What do you think? I think he attacks right then and there. What does he say? That's not the gift of tongues. And that is actually not what he said, but he says that to lots of Christians when they get the gift of tongues. That's not the gift of tongues. You're making it up. Lord, I trust you. And anyway, this is the phrase he used to me. So I start praying in tongues. If you stop praying, you'll lose the gift forever. So I keep praying for ages. And about an hour of praying in tongues, I thought, oh, I can't keep praying anymore. I felt really tired. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to stop. Please let me have this gift. God doesn't give you a gift, then yank it back. He's not that kind of father. So I stopped praying in tongues, scared that I would lose the gift, and then tried again and I could speak in tongues again. And I've been able to speak in tongues in private anytime I want to. Such an amazing gift. When I pray for people, like this afternoon, I will usually pray silently in tongues. And ask God to give me something as I pray for people, to impart something. The gift of tongues seems to unlock things for Christians. It edifies us, it builds us up. I have often been in, sort of started the day a bit tired and prayed in tongues for about a minute. And then before I know it, I'm going, I'm almost marching. It's like an energy comes on me. I definitely know speaking in tongues builds me up. So the lie, nothing happens. Word of knowledge, is she married? The lie, nothing happens. Rosh Hashanu, tongues. I then start preaching differently in my church. It wasn't my church, I was the assistant pastor. And I'm then yanked in before the 8 elders in the church because they said, your teaching is different now. I was saying, look, Jesus is the healer, was the thing I was saying. We need to look to him for healing. We had some sick people in the church. And we didn't really pray for them directly. We were a cessation church. So anyway, the elders decide that I'm not to preach anymore. Not to teach anymore. The only people I was allowed to talk to was the visitors who were non-Christians. My job was to follow up the non-Christians. What do you think God did? He saved some of them. That's what God does. God wanted me to work with non-Christians. He wanted me to know I'm an evangelist. Two of these non-Christians who visited Covenant Presbyterian Church told me that they'd had a dream. And immediately I had the interpretation of the dream. That's never happened since. So this was nearly 35 years ago. It hasn't happened since. But both those ladies, Sandy and Brigitte from Germany, she was living in Florida, both got saved and added to the church. And so did a load of other people. I never saw anyone get saved at university, although I spoke to everyone because I was obnoxious. But with the Holy Spirit, people got saved a little bit more easily. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So tongues, word of knowledge. And then people getting saved. It's like nothing happened. What a lie. God had done something. I didn't realize. Receive the Spirit. Well, nothing happened. something happened. It's all part of God's plan to pour out his Spirit from heaven on his church. And then the other thing that happened for me is I went to a black church a couple of times in Philadelphia. America has a horrible system still. White church, black church. I have black friends who are basketball players who I lived with, and I went to their church. And one time I'm in this 5,000 people black church. I'm almost the only white person, which I didn't mind, because they're all so lovely. They all love the British people. So, but I'm wearing my blue blazer and wearing my Sunday best. And they're all praising God and enjoying God. And it was very much a black gospel church. But I normally had a hymn book. So I didn't like having the words up there because I didn't know what to do with my hands. So I just stood like this. And it's a cinema that they were renting. And this tiny lady behind me, she must have been 100. She taps me on the shoulder and I look round and she goes, "Loosen up, man, loosen up." You know, I couldn't loosen up. I wanted to be able to do that. I could not do it. But the fourth thing that happened after all these guys laid hands on me, I found myself, when I finally came back to England, broken to pieces, divorced. One of the things I wanted to do in this New Frontiers Church in Horsham was raise my hand. So I close my eyes, I'm singing a song I know, and I'm like, "Oh Lord, please help me to raise my hand, not to be a coward anymore. Help me to loosen up." And so I raise my hand, I start getting tears pouring down my face, and it just goes on. I know the next song, so I keep standing, I'm just enjoying God. And then, you know, the devil tries to rob you. I open my eyes finally, and then I'm embarrassed because everyone else is sitting down. I'm the only one standing up. When I stood up, everyone was standing up. Everyone had their hands up. And then I think, I go back into stiffen. And I think, what do I do now? I'm embarrassed I'm the only one standing. I can't just sit down. That'll look stupid. So I waited a bit longer and then just kind of looked nonchalant. But since then, something's broken in me. I have a freedom in worship. Why? I believe I've got more of the Spirit than I had in those first 8 years. Every Christian's got the Spirit, but there's more. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. So I'd love us to lay hands on people today. You can do it where you are. You can come forward. I'd love to pray, maybe prophesy. Maybe you think, "Actually, I want the Holy Spirit." That's always the starting point. Instruction about baptism. It's meant to be a beginning part of the Christian life. I didn't get it for 8 years. Jesus didn't get it for 30 years. So you're doing pretty well if you're beating Jesus. It's an awesome thing to keep wanting more about what a wonderful Father we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Comforter, Holy Spirit we have. We need God in our lives, helping us on this journey. And he's here. And he says, you can help each other in getting stirred to receive this gift or that gift. But anyway, I'm going to hand back to Paul. I'm going to pray. Lord, we just thank you that you have modeled for us how to pray. Thank you, Father, you always hear us. So we say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." We want to see breakthrough in our lives with words of knowledge, tongues, prophecy, healings. Lord, we know you love to answer our prayers. So we just say, have your way now as we pray for each other and lay hands on